beautiful, angelic. I'm not going to call you Peaches because that might lend to some bruising, and nobody wants that. Oh, Joel's already up front, so I guess we'll call the rest of our children forward for our children's moment. How are you all doing this morning? Y'all doing all right? I'm going to stand up here. If I sit down there, I may not get back up. So, no, we're not going to read that. All right, let's see what we got today. You know, it's an emergency locator transmitter. Now, exactly what does this do? Oh, listen. Oh, okay. Alrighty. So when you crash and burn, people will be able to find you. This is so applicable to sermons and everything. So you all know Mr. Steve right here. He's a pilot and he flies. And so if something were to happen, they would know where to find you because of this locator. It sends out a signal. Now, when we are praying to God, when we are spending time with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're telling them that we are in need of help, that we're in need of assistance. When we walk through these doors every Sunday, what we're telling to the world and to the people around us is that we need help doing the things that God is calling us to do, because if we don't get their help, we might crash and burn. We might have issues. We might have problems. And so when we come here, when we surround ourselves with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are reminded of God's help for us and the fact that He has already met us long before there was an accident, and He has come alongside us. So I want you all to remember that, to be mindful of that. And as we prepare to go to Children's Church, we'll give this to Miss Vicky, so if she needs us, she can contact us. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day, for your love and your grace. We thank you that in the midst of trouble, Lord, in the midst of all times, that you are with us. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and pray you would continue to guide and lead us as we seek to be your people. We thank you for these children, for the opportunity we have to teach them and the opportunity we have to learn from them. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. And the Exodus has begun. Scripture lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 27 through 38. Luke 6, 27 through 38. If you would go to the next slide. As a reminder, again, we have been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and we have been considering all nine of the fruit, and today we are on number 8, the fruit of gentleness. If you'll remember with me, our diagram here indicates that love is the starting point for the fruit of the Spirit. God initiates, God begins this whole process. And so love is how we begin, and it is initiated by God. As love grows and as it expands, it begins to encompass all of these other fruit. And joy is how we express that love to others, how we receive it from God. Peace is what we receive from God and then have the opportunity to offer to others. We remember the armor of God, the feet of those ready to bring peace to those who we go to. Patience is that non-anxious waiting on God and knowing that God's time is different than our time, and we have to wait on Him. Kindness, then, is seeing the value in others, recognizing Christ in other people. Goodness is that call, and I think hearkening us back to God's original intent for us. When God created us, He saw us and he said that we were good. And so it's that call to be the good creation that he originally formed us to be. And last week we looked at faithfulness, this faithful living and focused living on Jesus, and recognizing that if we focus on him as he focuses on us, we will be faithful to the things that he has called us to. And today we're looking at gentleness. And so as we consider gentleness this morning, let's hear now from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. "But I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks, and don't demand your things back from those who take them. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, why should you be commended? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, why should you be commended? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be paid back in full. Instead, love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. If you do, you will have a great reward. You will be acting the way the children of the Most High act, for he is kind to ungrateful and wicked people. Be compassionate as your Father is compassionate. Don't judge, and you won't be judged. Don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good portion, packed down, firmly shaken and overflowing, will fall into your lap. The portion you give will determine the portion you receive in return." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, your word, for the opportunity we have to hear it and to consider it. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me this morning. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. In the Talmud, there is a story. Hillel is a great teacher of the Jewish law, and the Talmud is basically the Old Testament with a lot of commentary around it. And there's a story that is told of a defiant student who comes to the great teacher and demands the following. He says, "I will convert if you can teach me the whole law while I stand on one foot." I'm not going to stand on one foot this morning, but just imagine. And the teacher, hearing this, replies to the student, "That which is despicable to you, do not do to a fellow. That is the whole Torah. The rest of it is commentary. Go and learn it." Don't do what is despicable to somebody else. If you consider something despicable, don't do it to somebody else. That's all of the Torah. Everything else is commentary. Everything else helps us to understand how not to do that. Jesus phrases it a little differently here, and he does so twice. In verse 31, he says, "Treat people the way you want be treated." The golden rule, right? Do unto others. And in verse 36, he says, "Be compassionate as your Father is compassionate." He raises it another level. It's easy to say, and maybe from time to time, it's easy to treat other people the way we want to be treated. But it's a whole other ballgame to be compassionate like our Heavenly Father is compassionate. That raises it a whole other level. This is so much more than just being nice to somebody or being kind, but this requires that we be like God. Put another way, maybe it's the phrase, love God and love others. Period. That's it. That's the whole sum of the law and the prophets. This is a simple command, one we can easily memorize, but we know the difficulty in following it. I think gentleness for so many is often associated with weakness. And we see people as gentle and we see them as targets, right? Everyone loves a hard worker, right? Because they do all the hard work, right? And everyone puts something on someone else. And we often associate it with that meekness, that weakness that Scripture talks about from time to time. But we can quickly surmise here that that is not the case. Gentleness is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness fleshed out. It is the appropriate mix of all of these things together. People that are gentle don't have to justify themselves to others. The other day I was teaching the youth Sunday morning, and I asked them, I said, how many of you care what other people think? And they were like, I don't care what anybody thinks. And I said, yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes, you do. No, I don't. And I said, the fact that you're arguing with me right now proves that you care what I think. Now, how many of you out there this morning don't care what anyone else thinks? How many of you do care? Oh, we care. We can't not care what other people think. Those who are gentle are those that know who they are. And though they may care what other people think, they don't succumb to that. They do what they know is right because they know it's right. They don't have to justify their actions because they know that God bears witness to their actions. And they seek to live the life that God is calling them to. And because they don't have to justify themselves, there's no anger, there's no jealousy, there's no rivalry, there's no pride or arrogance in that. They simply live the life they're supposed to live, and they don't draw a lot of attention to it. Now, how many of us know people like that? I'm not saying, are you that person? I'm saying, how many of us know people that are like that? A few of us do. And those are the people that we tend to look up to, and we see and we recognize something about them that we want to emulate, and we want to be like them. Gentleness can only be exhibited when we know who we are. We are those who have been forgiven by a loving and gracious God. And Jesus is quick to point that out here in this passage. He says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. And then he goes on to describe that this will be a good portion, packed down, firmly shaken, and overflowing, and it will come to you. It will be for you. This gentleness that we're meant to show to others is the same that we have received by God through his infinite grace. And I think that's where a lot of the problem comes in. Because we have a hard time accepting what God wants to give us. Now, it's easy to say that we have a hard time accepting the difficulties that God places before us, because we certainly have a hard time with that. But I think we also have a hard time accepting the good things that God wants to give us, because we feel like we need to earn it. We feel like we need to work for it. We're so consumed with this idea of status and earning things that we have just a very hard time simply receiving things from God, receiving things from others. And when we can recognize that though we're not deserving of these things, God desires to give them to us, and when we can honestly accept that from God, we can begin to then show that gentleness, that love, that grace to others. Because it doesn't matter how people receive it. It only matters that we're being faithful and gentle and giving that to those God places in front of us. Gentleness recognizes a few things about God and others that we would do well to consider. And when we talk about gentleness, I want to talk about that compassion that we're supposed to have as the Father has. This is how I think we begin to emulate the Father as Christ desires us to. First is we recognize that we are loved by God. Therefore, we should love others with the same love that we have received. And that kind of goes back to what I was just sharing about. When we receive from God, when we accept it, when we take it as ours, and know that we don't have to earn it, but now we have the opportunity to show it and to express it. That's where we begin to recognize that love, and we begin to see that, and we begin to do that for others. It recognizes, secondly, the joy of that love and the joy that we obtain in sharing it with others. It is a good thing to share good news with people. How many of you like to share good news with people? It's fun. There's something about it that we truly enjoy. And we have that opportunity in this gentleness that we are called to share that joyful news with others in ways that they will want to receive it. And they will want to engage in it as well. Gentleness recognizes the peace we have in knowing God will give us what we need. God will provide our needs. This contentment that God will provide for us keeps us from those jealousies and those rivalries that can so often play out in our minds and so often play out in our actions, having that peace. And then we have the opportunity and that joy to share that with others. And again, I mentioned earlier the armor of God and the feet of those who are bearing peace, the feet of those who bring this good news to others. We have the opportunity to share that, the opportunity to bring that joy and that love with us wherever we go. And we do well to do that. Gentleness recognizes the patience God has shown us. Ours is the task of paying that patience forward and paying it towards others and giving it to others. Now, again, we talked about patience, and patience isn't something we necessarily want, but let's be mindful of all the patience God has with us. The King James, I love how the King James phrases patience. Instead of patience, it uses, does anyone know what it uses? Long-suffering. Whew, Lord have mercy. That's exactly what that is, long-suffering. And God is faithful in that. He suffers long with us because of us. And we do well to recognize that. And he continues to be gentle to us. He continues to love us, to bring us joy, to bring us peace when we will call upon him. And God is so patient to us. We then have the opportunity to be patient towards others. I don't know about you all, but when I think about patience, Abby will tell you I'm not a very patient person. Whatever. And that's fine. That's probably true in a lot of ways. But I find genuinely that I have far less patience with myself than I will other people. I have a far harder time being patient with myself. I think that I need to be able to do this, this, and this. And if I can't do this, this, and this, I'll get frustrated or agitated or something like that. And again, in receiving this gentleness from God, as we receive this patience from God, I think the first thing we have to do is to be patient with ourselves. To know that the fruit of the Spirit we're called to is something that we continue to grow in on a regular basis. We continue to learn how to be gentle. We will make mistakes. There will be times that we are not so gentle. And those are the moments we need to be reminded of God's patience, his love, his joy, his peace. And that will propel us to do better next time. Gentleness recognizes the kindness that we show to others. Gentleness, I think, makes kindness tangible. Kindness is an act we can do to somebody, and the way we do it would then be a gentle way of showing kindness. And we have the opportunity to do just that. To recognize that everyone we encounter is created by God, is created for God, and is loved by God just as much as we like to think we are. Gentleness recognizes the goodness that everyone encompasses as those who are created and loved by God. We recognize that even if I disagree with you, even if I don't like you, even if I don't know you, God knows you. God created you. God loves you. And because of that, so should I. If I'm a Christian, I should love you, regardless of any of these other things, these factors that he talks in here about our enemies, those who would take advantage of us, those that would do things against God and against us. And again, we don't have to justify our actions. We simply have to be good. We have to be gentle. We have to be loving. Finally, gentleness recognizes the faithfulness of God towards us and others. Again, it recognizes all those things that God has done and continues to do. God is faithful in the small things, right? He'll be faithful in the big things. He's faithful in the things that we see. He's faithful in the things that we don't see. I know that if I had had foot surgery instead of this, God would have been faithful and I'd have been able to wheel around up here and still preach or do something, right? God continues to be faithful in the midst of everything that we have going on, regardless of the obstacles that are either put in our way or the obstacles that we tend to put in our way. Anyone put obstacles in your way from time to time? Man, wouldn't it just be nice if we loved our enemies? Man, that sure would be nice. What obstacles do we put in our way? How can we be faithful to God and therefore faithful to others? How can we receive God's faithfulness and recognize that he has done for us the same things he's doing for our enemies? Gentleness is this resolve in knowing who you are. Now, I've recapped a lot of what we've looked at over the last several weeks, but I think that's what gentleness is. It's taking all of these things and it's beginning to encompass them in the way that we act. And so it becomes this resolve in knowing who we are, knowing what we can and can't do, and seeking to do because we know it's God's will. I was sharing with the confirmation class this morning. We were talking about how we tend to see God. And one of the things that we often tend to do is we see God as just this giant vending machine. And we go and we ask for things. And we say, God, I want this, or God, I want that. And there's no relationship there, right? We put our quarter in, we put our prayer in, we hit B9 or whatever it is, and boom, there we go. Like what I did to 9 there. Anyone catch that? All right. As a thinker, sorry, I didn't mean to throw that on you. I'm seeing all kinds of crazy stuff. I think this aleve is stronger than I thought it was. Gentleness is this resolve in knowing who we are and knowing that we have the opportunity to know God in a very real way. And when we know God, it is so much more than just going to him when life is difficult or tough or confusing, but it's simply being with him, allowing him to just gently show us who he is. And that's what we get to experience if we will avail ourselves. It doesn't have to be this huge, glorious encounter. It can be something simple and subtle and small and beautiful. Gentleness hinges not just on treating people the way that we wanted to be treated, but by being compassionate as our Heavenly Father is compassionate. And the way that we do that is to have love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. That is how we can be compassionate. That is how we can be gentle. That is how we can be bearers of the good news of Jesus Christ. Gentleness treats others with compassion. And it cannot be done unless we have received that compassion and taken it and experienced it and enjoyed it by God's grace. Ladies and gentlemen, we're called today to be gentle. We can see that that is no small or easy task. And I pray for the strength and the discernment to be gentle myself. I pray for your strength and discernment as you seek to be gentle in your life and with those that you encounter. And may we know this day that we can do all of these things because our God is gentle and loving. Gracious God, we thank you for this day, for your love and your grace, for your gentleness towards us. Forgive us those moments where we see others as our enemies. Help us to see them as simply our brothers and sisters, as those who share this earth with us now. Make us mindful of your presence in their lives, whether they see it or not. And may we help them to see it as you have helped us to see it in our own lives. We love you. We thank you and praise you and ask all of you.